This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next-door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy. Your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
You are on Saturday Magazine with Macca and Paul on Joy 94.9. We're still trying to get hold of Michael O'Brien, Macca.
Yep, and I've got a message from him. I think we're having some technical problems at this end, so
but I'm hoping, I've tried to link up my phone now to the panel, so hopefully we've got Michael O'Brien on the line. Yeah. Michael, are you there?
I am indeed.
Oh,
with you finally. Sorry about the technical issues we had.
No, look, it's fine, Michael, and thank you so much for your time.
Hello, are you there?
Yes, can you hear us?
Hello, Michael, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
He may not be able to hear me.
Oh, that's true. Let me try something else, Macca. See if I can get this organised.
Okay.
A different way.
This is about, listeners, this is about sometimes when you're working remotely or you're not familiar with the technology, it doesn't always work. So bear with us, Michael. Paul's just, I don't know what he's doing there.
I'm trying to work on different sets of the main, Macca. Michael, how about that? Can you hear us now?
Okay.
And can you hear me, Michael?
I'm not sure Michael can hear you, Macca. Okay, we're trying really hard here, Michael, to make this work. Macca's going to come in just for 1 second just to try and help us out in here. I'm going to make sure he stands one more time. Okay. Let's just try this one more time for us. Michael, you still there?
You're there, Michael. We can hear you.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can. So, tell us about your week, Michael. It's one of the most challenging times Victoria's ever been through, I think. You know, we're coming off drought, the bushfires, and now we have this. And, you know, the amount of dislocation and grief this is causing. Tell us about your response and, you know, is there some bipartisanship happening with the state government? I think that's one of the questions a lot of our listeners are interested in too.
I'm sorry, Macca, you just dropped out there a bit.
Okay, I was wondering, Michael, in terms, you know, bipartisanship, we've seen that happening at the federal level. How is that operating at the state level?
Oh, look, I think that at the moment people just want their political leaders to work together to try and get us through this in as strong a shape as we can. This isn't the time for partisanship, it's not the time for game playing. Yeah, I think by and large, governments at different levels and different political persuasions have worked together well. Nothing's perfect. I mean, this is unprecedented for us. And I don't think that there's goodwill there, that people want to work together, people want to help our community survive this. So, there are always things that, I can say could have been done slightly differently or slightly better. But I think my job at this time back is not to be someone who opposes, to be somebody who proposes. So if I think that there's an issue that's not being addressed, I'll raise it, not in a critical way, but in a way that I think that, you know, people need to have their issues given attention at this unprecedented time.
And I think that's great to hear, Michael. I mean, I'm interested in what sort of feedback are you getting, you know, yourself, you and your, you know, your front bench and your back bench. What sort of feedback are you getting?
Look, I think there's been an unprecedented level of contact that MPs have had across the board. I know that my electorate office has been swamped with people just
people worried. They're either worried about health and how can they protect themselves and their loved ones, or they're, particularly if they're in small business, they're just not certain about what the rules are. And I think we did see a little bit of a problem last Sunday when I think the Premier put out a statement saying that all non-essential businesses would be closing within 48 hours. And then I think the National Cabinet came out and gave a list, and that list was probably not as long as many people might have thought from the Premier's initial statement. So it was just confusion. So I'll give you a great example. In my electorate of Malvern, there's somebody who owns a fitness studio. And when the initial list came out of businesses that were not as non-essential and had to close, it said gyms. Now, this constituent rang me and said, look, Michael, I've got a fitness studio. I don't consider myself to run a gym. Right. But goodness me, I don't want to do the wrong thing. I don't want to break the law. I don't want to put people's health at risk. So am I supposed to close or not? And that's just one of the issues where, you know, we are in unprecedented times. But what I've been asking for, politely, because it's not the time to be demanding things, but politely, is can we just have some more clarity about what the decisions are? So I think there is goodwill in the community. I think people do want to do the right thing. They just need to know what the right thing is.
I wanted to ask you, Michael, and look, I agree with you there. I think, you know, clarity is absolutely vital here. And, you know, people want to understand just what it is that, you know, what we can't, none of us have crystal balls, but what is going to happen, we can map that out fairly accurately, I think, but people want clear messages and they want to understand what the impact is. When you're out there and people are talking to you, Michael, do you think people now understand, you know, we have the slogan here, which is stay in, stay alive. Do you think people are now getting that?
Well, if you look at St Kilda Beach last night, you have to say the answer is no. I think some people are getting it. I think some people don't. You know what? It's a funny analogy, but I'm going to use it. It's a little bit like climate change.
Yeah.
There are some people who just say, nah, it's all a joke, it's all a hoax, you know, it's all overblown. And other people go, no, this is really serious and we need to tackle it, you know, ASAP. There are always going to be people who will push back against what they're told by people in government. There will always be people who will be cynical and looking for a hidden agenda. My plea is just, look, there's no hidden agenda in this. Nobody benefits out of this. We all just want to get through it. We want to get it through it in as good a health and economic state as we can. And the more that people listen and act on the advice, the better off we'll all be. Because this is, I mean, I was born in 1971. I've never lived through a world war, but I think this is going to be our generation's equivalent of that.
Michael, it's Paul here. Sorry, I was trying to sort out our technical problems there. I didn't get the beginning of your interview there with Macca, but I just wanted to ask the question. Is there much bipartisan work going on between you and the government to try and make sure that the decisions being made in Victoria are actually ones that everyone agrees with? I know this is an extraordinarily unusual situation we're in, and we probably need the best brains around to try and deal with it rather than just party political brains. So is much of that going on behind the scenes?
Well, look, Paul, I'll be fair to say the government is not sort of calling up me or inviting me to sit around the table and make decisions with them. That's a decision, and to be fair, that the same applies to the federal level. The governments have decided they didn't want to invite opposition leaders to be part of the national cabinet, and that's a decision for them. What I'd say is that we have been asking for briefings from ministers in relevant areas to try and find out what's being done, so that we can communicate to people and let them know what's being done. Also, so we can try and find out where maybe something's not getting the attention it deserves. And as I mentioned earlier, at this time, my job isn't to be the oppositional, even though I'm the opposition leader. My job is to propose. So, for example, I think there's a lot more that could be done for small business. There's a lot more that could be done in terms of land tax to help both tenants and landlords. We understand some work's being done. We haven't seen the results of that yet. But at this time, I don't want to be critical, but I do want to propose ideas where I think we can have a better response.
You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9. Macca and Paul. We're speaking with Michael O'Brien, the state opposition leader. So, Michael, the economy, I suppose, until all of this was bubbling along reasonably well. We still had perhaps higher unemployment than we'd have liked, and, you know, business was doing it tough for a whole range of other reasons. I like to think forward to when we come out of this, how Victoria is going to recover and rebuild. What are your thoughts in that area? Let's move to, you know, the next phase.
Yeah, well, look, that's the key thing is how can we not just rebuild the economy, because that is going to be critical. I think I worry we're going to see high unemployment because a lot of businesses that will close down because of this won't reopen. And that's why I think it is important that government, state and federal, and local for that matter, work to try and give as many businesses as possible the chance to get through this and to basically be rebirthed after this all passes, because we're going to need those goods, those services, and importantly, those jobs. High unemployment is such, not only is it an economic drag, it's a waste of human talent, and people get frustrated. If people want to work and they can't find a job, it really has a mental health implication for them as well. So I think one of the most important things we can do in rebuilding is making sure that it is as easy as possible for people to re-establish a business or to get going again. We need to just take an axe to red tape. Anything that stands in the way of people who want to come out of this and set up a business or re-establish something, we need to support them. We need to try and make sure that government has got a role to play. So at the moment, Victoria is the highest taxed state in the country, probably not exactly the best place to be when you want to get businesses going again. So I'd be proposing ideas to try and make it easier to set up a business and encourage people to do that. Because look, small business, and I'm also the Shadow Minister for Small Business, which is why I'm so passionate about it, but small business is the biggest employer in the state. And you know, we really need to have those people coming through this and re-establishing themselves. The other thing we can do is infrastructure. Now, there's a number of big projects currently underway. That's terrific, but we need to look at what are we going to do next? What are the next big things that can change the face of this city and this state that can create jobs, create economic productivity, and actually help us deal with population growth? That's another great opportunity for us as well.
I was thinking, you know, Michael, a couple of things, you know, that some sides of politics, both left and right, have had a bit of a fetish about deficits or... I think the Australian people and the Victorian people at the moment are not concerned with deficits, but it's obviously going to be an issue we have to deal with, you know, in the future. And you know, as you mentioned there, the tax base, you know, is part of that in helping business to recover. We did flag, Michael, in some of the earlier introductions we did, there's a bit of a move around particularly people in prison, older folk. You know, there's a lot of people advocating for them to be released, and I'll let you know, what my position is. Assuming it's not a crime of violence, assuming they have, you know, a relatively short time to serve, and that we can monitor them, you know, whether that's with bracelets or whatever, if I'm correct, you'd commented last week, and I'm interested in an update on it, that you didn't support that you said do the crime, do the time. Do you still believe that, or do you think that there's a case, you know, with some very strict provisions for this, you know, for this to perhaps happen to within the prison population?
Well, Macca, what I said the other week was I said coronavirus shouldn't be a get-out-of-jail-free card. And that's a position that I still maintain. So my question is, my position is, if you like, is that if people have been sent to jail for a crime because they have hurt others, whether they've hurt them physically or they've hurt them, you know, financially by stealing from them, ruining other people's lives, they've been sent to jail. I mean, look, in Victoria, it actually takes a bit to get sent to jail. Mm. You know, they don't send you to jail for pinching a Mars bar from a corner shop. So to get sent to jail in this state, you have to have done something quite serious. So that's always the starting point, is why is somebody in jail in the first place? They've really hurt somebody. So let's not forget that. Now, we had a briefing, my Shadow Minister for Corrections had a briefing from the Corrections Commissioner just this week, and they indicated that they are well placed to deal with coronavirus. Now, if there were health or medical reasons for separating prisoners from general population for reasons, then of course you follow the medical advice. But if you're talking about some general sort of amnesty for prisoners who might be towards the end of their sentence but not eligible for parole, I don't understand that coronavirus does anything to change the reason why they're in prison in the first place. So, look, I'll respectfully disagree with you. I think that as long as the correction system is well placed to care for prisoners, and they do have a duty of care to look after them, of course they do, but the advice we had from a briefing this week is that the correction system seems to be well set up to deal with it. So if that continues to be the case, my position would be you should serve out your sentence until it's over.
Michael, it's Paul here. I agree with you to some extent that the people are in prison for a very good reason and it takes a lot to get in there. But if there is an uncontained outbreak of coronavirus in our correction centres, their prison sentence shouldn't be a life sentence. And therefore, if there are vulnerable people or there are people that are older that get sick, then this may be a mitigation that just might save lives.
Well, Paul, as I said, I would always be guided by the public health advice. And if the public health advice was that certain vulnerable prisoners should be separated out, and maybe it's not home detention, maybe it's moved to some other form of detention facility where they're less likely to be candidates to get coronavirus, I think that's a different kettle of fish. I think we've always got to be guided by the best public health advice. But the information that we received in a briefing this week is that the Corrections Commissioner believes that the situation is under control. But I would agree with you that nobody should be sentenced to life or to death, effectively, in this state. You know, I've never supported the death penalty and never will. But all we can be as an opposition is guided by the advice we're getting, and the Corrections Commissioner flagged that the situation was under control.
Yeah. Well, I don't have as much faith in the prison system as you, but I'll let that go. I wanted to have that discussion because I think we are in extraordinary times, and yes, I'm not about letting a whole lot of people out simply because there's a virus. It is actually about protecting life as well, and it has to be a balance. But I'm, I sense there that you're listening to the advice, and I'm sure that if the advice came that there should be, some prisoners that are released and these are the reasons, that you'd consider that. So let's move on from that. One of the challenges we've all faced, Michael, is how do we deal with this? Now, you're out and about, so, you're probably interacting with a lot more people than a lot of us, and I know you'll be following all the rules. How do you deal with it? The fact that you're not able to carry on your life, as a politician and as opposition leader, as you did before, that's got to be a big challenge.
Look, Macca, we're all challenged, and really, when I consider my role, I think there are, I've got a job, and that puts me in a very, very fortunate position compared to a lot of other people who either already lost theirs or are worried about losing theirs. So it's not about me. This is a time for me and for every other member of Parliament to step up and try and provide leadership in our local communities. I've got all my electorate staff working from home. I've got all my opposition staff working from home. We took that decision last weekend. I think we do have to lead by example. And there was a law firm during the week which was still arguing about people working from home. I thought, for goodness sake, yeah. It's not about the bottom line. It's about saving lives. That's the most important thing. So we're now moving into Zoom shadow conference, shadow cabinet meetings, teleconference for party room meetings, doing a lot more work over email, a lot more work over phone. My job is still to be accessible. People, whether it's as the local member for Malvern or as the leader of the opposition or leader of the Liberal Party, people need to be able to contact me. and I try and make myself as accessible as possible. It's just not face-to-face. So we're putting off a lot of face-to-face meetings. We're converting them to Zoom meetings or phone calls. And it's not perfect. I'd much rather be in the room with you guys this morning and having a chat and be able to sort of, you know, see your faces and everything else. But, look, this is just the new reality that we're in at the moment. And, you know, I did put up a social media post about social distancing. And during the week, I said, look, it's not a joke. It's not an overreaction. This is about saving lives. When you see that even people like, you know, Prince Charles and Boris Johnson have got coronavirus, I mean, for goodness sake, this does not respect anyone's role or position. We are all equally vulnerable and we all have to follow the advice to save ourselves and our loved ones.
We are. And even the British Chief Medical Officer has contracted.
Goodness me.
Yeah, wow.
There you go.
Look, just as we close, Michael, I'd like to give you the opportunity for a message to not just, you know, my community, but the wider Victorian community, a message you'd like to give them about the time ahead.
Oh, look, thanks, Mac. Look, I think that this is unprecedented for all of us. We've never lived through anything like this, but the most important thing we can do is stay safe. And it's going to be difficult. It's going to be boring sometimes. People feel they crave that human connection, but we can't allow those sort of feelings to put ourselves at risk. So please just do everything you can to stay safe, because if you keep yourself safe, we'll all be safe and we will get through this. There's going to be changes, there's going to be disruption, but we all just need to see all Victorians coming through this as safely as possible. And you know what? The sun will rise, we will get through it, we will rebuild, and you know, we will come through it. But I just want to see us come through this with as many healthy Victorians as possible.
Thanks so much, Michael. And as I said, our motto is stay in, stay alive. Look, I appreciate your time. It's a busy time, even in these times, for you. And thanks for making the time to talk to us. I'm sure we're going to be talking to you again real soon, or one of your colleagues.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah.
I look forward to it. Thanks for the opportunity to chat, guys.
Pleasure.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.